You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
It was a big shake. I mean, we actually thought it was something that hit the building, but it turned out it was an earthquake.
A 7.0 magnitude earthquake that hit Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti, yesterday evening and has caused untold numbers of casualties and devastation throughout
the capital.
absolutely. We're to talk to us about relief efforts as they begin to go into Haiti. We now have Gypsy Metalus. He's the executive director of Saint-La. That's the Haitian Neighborhood Center in Miami. Gypsy, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you tell me, have you gotten information about family and friends in Haiti, about their safety?
No, I have not been able to get any information at all. My mother recently traveled. She traveled on Friday. This is a time where she would spend 6 months in Haiti. So I am worried, afraid. And everything else.
So you are yet another aid worker who is having to deal with personal grief, personal concern and anxiety at the same time that you're mobilizing efforts to try and help the people of Haiti.
Correct. And I heard you ask that question, and as you posed it, I wondered about it for a minute, and I just know that it's something that I know that, you know, I need to do, and I would react this way whether or not no matter the circumstances. And so I'll figure out how to deal with it, even if that means figuring it out one day at a time, you know, 1 minute at a time. I'll just handle it, because I don't have a blueprint for this. I'll just do what feels right.
So what are you sending into Haiti? Workers?
Well, we at this particular point, we don't even know that planes will be flying in. And so right now, I think we're trying to just gather intelligence around what's needed. And of course, you know, the aftermath of something like this is a situation that will need expertise in terms of the assessments. So we want to know what is the, you know, we suspect that humanitarian relief products are necessary right now, you know, water, medicines, and food, much like hurricane relief supplies. We understand that. But we want to know what else. And someone on the ground is going to be, has got to be able to tell us that, whether that is the joint efforts of the relief, the international relief agencies that are on the ground, who can let us know where the priorities are, what the needs are, and then, of course, we would respond. I know, though, that the community is very anxious. People want to help. This is across the board. This is within the Haitian-American community as well as the larger community. People want to help, and I think that's a very American thing.
And we're going to be giving people ways to help all this morning on the takeaway.
Exactly.
Gypsy,
right now I can't tell you whether people need food, water, clothing, body bags. I can't tell you.
Well, Gypsy,
let's
try to give you some quality information here that maybe you can use this morning. Just sit tight there. Roger Billum joins us. He's an earthquake expert, professor of geological sciences at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Gypsy Metalus is the executive director of an aid organization trying to even sketch out what the scale of the relief effort is going to require. Let me throw a couple of facts at you, and you can give me some sort of geological context, if you don't mind. We heard a report this morning on Twitter that said they sat and watched as the earthquake came in, the slums on the hillside of Port-au-Prince literally disappear. What's going on there geologically?
Well, there's a very large fault on the northern edge of the Caribbean plate. The Caribbean plate is a huge plate. It's actually one of the smaller ones on the planet, but it's moving to the east at about 2 centimeters a year. The fault that goes through Port-au-Prince is moving at about 7 millimeters a year. So about every 300 years, you get about 2 meters of slip ready to go in an earthquake. And that's more or less what happened. You had a couple of meters of slip in this earthquake. The earthquake was centered about 30 kilometers to the west of Port-au-Prince. Had it been in the center, it would have been more damaging. And in fact, it's pretty damaging anyway. The number of people near the epicenter is fortunately much smaller than those that would have been affected in Port-au-Prince had it occurred under the city.
Well, let's go back to Jeffsy Metalus on that. If we're talking about people on hillside communities, densely packed hillside communities, really, really threatened by the shocks, what's that going to mean in terms of the numbers of people that are going to be affected? Because you have a picture of the city in your own mind right there, right, Jeffsy?
Well, yes, I do. And of course, you know, the reports are that there are aftershocks taking place. There've been, last night I heard that there had been a total of 18, and I also heard a geologist as well as a meteorologist report that these aftershocks can take place up to 6 months now. And so I can't begin to imagine what it looks like now, except an area that's devastated by war. If war is the image that helps us all to just visualize what it might look like in Haiti. And so again, it's going to be, you know, we're going to need help. We're going to need support. We're going to need prayers. We're going to need a lot of solidarity. And right now, if people want to begin organizing relief efforts, I think that that's always going to be useful. But we have to be very mindful about how those products are going to be shipped to Haiti, whether or not that's going to, transported to Haiti, whether that's going to be via shipping lines or via airlines. We need to know that because that's going to complicate things, of course. I would imagine that monies would be much, much easier to transfer. So that's where I would urge people who want to begin doing something to begin to mobilize. You know?
Right. It's much easier to let the aid organizations spend it on where it's most needed. Roger, can you answer something that Jeffsy referred to? We actually spoke to with somebody in Port-au-Prince this morning who said that they're all afraid that another aftershock is coming at any moment. Are we expecting more aftershocks?
Yeah, well, exactly. These aftershocks will continue, but most of the damage is already done. In fact, the problem is that near the epicenter, the houses are small and don't get damaged as much as the city buildings. The buildings in the city are further away but have been shaken, and the sort of damage that you see is very typical of what happens in earthquake zones. We're looking at concrete frame structures that have collapsed throughout the city, and
wow.
That's obviously taken out the communications and so on. So although Port-au-Prince is going to be shaken, much of the catastrophic damage has been done, and it's one of these cities where, although earthquake codes exist in many parts of the world, they're probably not applied very well in Haiti. I think that's an understatement.
Right.
What's more, corruption tends to be one of the ways that buildings go up with minimal
poor construction techniques. Well, Roger, stay with us. We'll get more information from you about the earthquake itself in just a moment. Roger's an earthquake expert, professor of geological sciences at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Also, Jeffsy Metalus, executive director of Saint-La, the Haitian Neighborhood Center in Miami. Thanks to both of you.
Our challenge this morning is to try to give you a sense of the scale and the difficulties of launching and mounting a significant rescue and recovery operation in Haiti. Here's one example of the challenges that aid agencies are going to face.
We're looking for the best way to get in the country so we can reach. We have an elementary school of 140 students. I've yet to hear any word on the condition of the school. A lot of the kids' homes are not even built of a concrete structure. We're talking tin shacks or sides of porta-potties nailed together.
That's aid worker Mallory Thurlow, founder and director of Haiti Against Poverty. She joined us from Grand Rapids, Michigan earlier in the program. Joining us now is Elizabeth First Frank, senior vice president of global programs at AmeriCares. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
You know, a lot of aid workers have and people who are in charge and trying to assess what's going to be needed in Haiti this morning are saying it's even too early to make such a calculation. Where do you stand?
Well, I think it's too early to be having estimates of casualties or putting dollar figures on the damage. We do know what the needs are going to be. We've, in AmeriCare's response to the earthquake in Padang, sadly not too long ago,
right,
and in response to the sequential storms, tropical storms that hit Haiti in 2008, we know it's a health system that doesn't have enough medicines and enough supplies to treat the people that they need to treat on a daily basis, let alone the additional casualties you'll see from an earthquake.
You know, we were talking to a scientist at the U.S. Geologic Survey who was saying that they can make, based on sort of force estimates of an earthquake, a casualty estimate that he was suggesting comes pretty close to being accurate. And he was saying between 1,000 and 2,000 at this point. Are numbers like that relevant to you?
It's important for us to know the casualties as a starting point, because that represents trauma and crush injury that the hospitals will have to be treating, either in their facilities or, if the hospital facilities are damaged, in field hospitals and temporary constructs. There will undoubtedly be a vast number of additional injuries beyond that casualty number, because people are hurt in the rubble trying to save people. They are hurt in the fact that there's no electricity and people are in a state of panic. And so there are all sorts of follow-on health issues that we worry about as well.
And, you know, you did mention that there have been numerous hurricanes in Haiti, and the aid agencies are familiar with recovery efforts for hurricanes. How does that differ from something like this?
In many ways, it's similar. There will be significant damage on the ground, both to infrastructure but also to the organizations. As you hear in all the interviews on the radio and on the television over the past 12 hours, people locally need to focus on search and rescue and rebuilding their organization strength, finding their staff, and so on. It's up to the international community to make it easy for them to receive assistance and to help support them at this very difficult time.
You know, you mentioned that international community. I've covered the sometimes uneasy partnership between private NGOs and the United Nations and other international organizations in trying to deliver aid in conflict zones. I don't know what the situation is in Haiti, but we're learning this morning that the United Nations infrastructure was severely damaged. Does that make it less likely to coordinate efforts inside of Haiti? Does that concern you at all?
We're very comfortable with the degree of coordination that exists both within the NGO community in Haiti as well as with the different governmental support groups, the multilaterals. There has been a long history of coordination, and more recently, especially as a result of the storms a couple years ago, the community's become more practiced at how to coordinate and share information.
Has the community recovered, and perhaps is it better prepared at this point to handle an emergency, or less prepared because of the damage that went before?
I think the international community is better prepared to respond. There are stronger relationships. There's more coordination and collaboration and more resources that are staged to respond to Haiti. I don't think that in Haiti people are more prepared because they're still recovering from the storm. I mean, they're still very much in a revitalization phase even before this huge setback.
What do you have at AmeriCares in place in Haiti, and what are you going to have to bring in?
We work with a number of local health institutions that we support on a month-to-month basis. They don't have excess stock to be able to respond to the casualty and the increased injuries. We'll be working on airlifting additional supplies in, both from the U.S. as well as from Europe, today, tomorrow, and in the coming weeks.
All right, so this bears repeating. I mean, there are people listening to this broadcast, other broadcasts, watching the coverage, looking at the pictures, whether they are individuals with family members inside Haiti or people who are concerned about the level of the humanitarian disaster that is coming together in Haiti. What do you do? What should a person who wants to take action do?
The sooner people can commit financial resources that they are inclined to contribute, the better the planning and the better the implementation. So if people can donate, sooner is better than later. And it's better to donate funding than it is to try to be sending stuff because of the challenges to coordinate and to take what hopefully is an enormous amount of international support through a very narrow channel, either across land from the DR or into the airport in Port-au-Prince.
DR meaning Dominican Republic.
Exactly.
Right. Finally, the nation of Haiti is 80%, I believe, or upwards of that, Catholic. Is the religious, the church institution inside Haiti a place to go to assist and facilitate the kind of humanitarian aid that we're talking about here?
There are a number of nonprofit organizations that have operated for years and years in Haiti, both faith-based, many Catholic, and many secular as well. And I think it's important for individuals in America who want to contribute to seek out organizations that have a long history of operating in Haiti.
All right. Well, is there a particular place where people could contact your organization, AmeriCares, that you'd care to communicate to us? We've been giving numbers all morning.
Yes. AmeriCares, the best place to donate is our website, which is www.americares.org.
All right. Elizabeth First Frank is the Senior Vice President of Global Programs for AmeriCares. She gave the website for AmeriCares on our website. There are other ways for you to get involved. The humanitarian disaster in Haiti is our focus this morning. Stay with us.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.